Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homo Casino Resort, the player's place.
Oh, yeah. Welcome in, everybody. Bennett Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a Thursday that I totally thought was a Friday when I woke up. That's how I started this fine Thursday morning, going, well, listen, just one more show, bud. Rip through it. Then the weekend arrives. Nope. Today's Thursday, not Friday. But, hey, nonetheless, happy to be here with you. Very, very lucky to have this gig and be with these people every single day. We are Ben and Woods. I'm Woodsy. That is Paul Reinl. He is the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. And Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning to you as well. And I'm smiling because I see Padre Bod in our chat. Say, my favorite 20 minutes in sports radio.
I like it, too.
Foreplay.
I love it, too.
And we have no idea where it's going. Really,
no,
any day.
Really, most days we don't. It's very much fly by the seat of your pants. In your case, very short pants. In my case, hot joggers. These are... I'm roasting
okay
right now.
For you,
they're
but
very
not for me.
Thick. They're thick. I mean, it's very hot. These are very hot. They're very cozy.
It was very cold this morning.
It was cold this morning, and it's usually cold in here, and now it's not. And I'm vested up like Marty McFly, and so I'm like, all right, I'm a little warm with a long sleeve shirt underneath. Like, I just can't get it right, man. I can't find the equilibrium of what I need right now. But yeah, these the joggers are real nice, but they're toasty.
iPhone says 52 degrees outside where we're at, so
that's
getting cold.
That's a little nipply here for San Diego, I'll give you that. Paulie, how's everything with you, pal?
Everything's good. I was also cold this morning. I did take the drove the electric scooter into work. It's great. Can get here real quick. No gas. Leave the car in the garage. But man, I got not very far without realizing, it is getting cold at this time of morning. You know, 5 o'clock. I'm like, I don't know how many more trips I have for the foreseeable future.
The wind just whipping on your face.
I can get a full face helmet.
Yeah, we
with
can
a visor.
Get him one of those ski masks and mufflers to wear to work.
Yeah, just the full like ski cover, and then. I just went skiing last year, and I wore one of those. And you forget how much saliva is expended when you're, you get up to the lift, and it kind of takes a minute to ski up to the lift. So you're breathing heavy.
Short on breath already.
You're short on breath. And the altitude's insane. Yeah. And then you start to get that red rash from the spit and the cold around your mouth. You're like, this is terrible. Why do I do this? I'm freezing cold. I'm in danger of breaking my neck at any second. But yeah, you need one of those, like the ski masks. But no, I think, listen, I think the spirits in our room certainly this morning are high. The weird thing about this gig is that we spent 72 hours straight talking about the departure of Mike Schilt. And I get to Little League last night to watch Bo's practice. And sitting there talking to one of the dads, and he's just me and him. Hey, so what really happened? Give him my whole spiel. You know, the spiel that the Padres sent over via fax for me to read. The official statement. So I give him the spiel. I pull up the crumpled piece of paper with the message from Eric Grubner and John Seidler and A.J. Preller. And I read it to him. And then I crumble it up. I put it back in my pocket. Then the next.
Hey, Woodsy, here are copy points.
Copy points for.
Read verbatim.
Remember, say retire. Emphatically, in bold, He retired. Okay, all right. You guys own me, right? I'll do it.
You want those checks to keep coming, you read this letter.
So I read the facts to him. And then we're watching, and then one of the other dads shows up. So what happened with Shilty? So I take the letter out again, uncrumple it, read it to him, crumple it back up, put it in. Then my friends, the Bandax, show up, Kelly and Nick. Nick says, hey, so what's up with Shilty? I'm like, hang on, I'm going to get this letter out again. And I read it again. And then our buddy Kevin Cooper shows up. He's the last one there. What happened with Shilt, bro? So I get the letter out again, read it again. It's the thing is, like, when I leave here, I kind of want it to be over. It never is. It's never over. It consumes you. So 72-hour news cycle for Shilty's departure. And I go, I woke up this morning with this dread. So I literally, first thing I did was I opened up Twitter and then The Athletic and was like, anything? Nothing? Okay. All right. Now we can go have some fun again. Now we can go have some fun again in the Ben and Woods studio. So that's Pot Roast turned out great. That I made yesterday. Probably the best.
How are the parent-teacher conferences?
Man, I got to tell you, it was incredible. And they, when we were kids, I don't ever remember being in the conference with my parents. I don't think they did that. My parents
went, and we would go home early.
Or like, we shoot baskets until they're done. And then they would walk out, and my dad would just be shaking his head. My mom would have, you know, be dabbing at her eye with a tissue.
Oh, my parents would
be elated. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Paulie.
I feel like I remember different parent-teacher conferences. No, I remember like being off early from school and not having to go to any of them. And I also feel like I remember sitting there for some of them. So maybe
being in there,
maybe one part of the year you were there with your parent and having a meeting, and then the other time it was just them.
That's open house night. Open house night is when everybody comes. Oh, this is our art.
Artwork is our wall.
Here's our kind of art around bucket. The same. Here's our think tank, whatever it is.
Those are both like beginning of the year type.
Yeah, open house is like a few weeks in after you've got a chance to get a few projects done, get them on the walls, and then you invite the parents. It's usually like 6 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and then conferences are like a couple weeks after that.
Very exciting to go to school late at night.
So they do it different now. So now Bo goes up to the board, and they have the projector, and he has a pointer, and he starts taking us through the presentation, which I thought was spectacular. He did brilliantly. He's such a good reader, writer.
So did you buy a timeshare from him?
I did not. I would have, though. I would have. I would do anything for that kid. As you know, I would buy him a timeshare if he wanted one. But he went up and led it. And then we all sat down at the table and went through all of his packets of stuff. And I couldn't be more proud. And I think the thing that made me the most proud was there's these six qualities that they look for. And he hits all of them. But the one that impressed her the most, and it's the one that impresses me the most, is that he is 100% a wellness advocate, meaning he looks out for others at school. And the teacher's assistant was in there with us as well. She goes, can I just speak up for a second? Some of the kids were kind of being mean to me, and they don't really recognize me as a teacher. And Bo is actually the one that came in and defended me a little bit as a 7-year-old to say, hey, that's our teacher. Like, knock it off. She goes, he is 100% always looking out for others. And I'm just a wreck at this point. I'm choking back tears. And I just thought it was the sweetest thing. And so I said, you know you're good at math. I know you're good at reading. You're writing. You're working on it, you know. But I said, that's the thing I'm the most proud of, is that you look out for others and you want to make sure that people are okay. And I just, it was so proud of him. So he got to lead it. It was pretty cool. You know, and I couldn't be more proud. It was great.
When we were growing up, there were only bullies and victims at school. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there were any wellness advocates.
Correct.
Because if you were a wellness advocate, then you'd open the door to being
to get your ass kicked.
A bully victim.
yeah, exactly. If the other kids are making fun of the teacher, you're like, I guess I have to join in unless I want my ass kicked.
Exactly.
It's so true, man. It was so, so true. So he was beaming. You know, he's a good kid, man. He is. Both of them are really, really good kids. But I just was very impressed with that. And I love how they do it. And one thing I noticed, man, and I think some parents can probably appreciate this as well. Hey, man, school, don't tell your kids this, school is way harder now than it was back in the 70s and 80s. And I mean way harder. We just had to memorize a bunch of stuff. Math, we just memorized it like 4 plus 2 is 6, 6 plus 4 is 10, 10 plus 2 is 12.
Tables.
This is now, it's like, not only do you have to figure this out, you need to write an essay and do a piece of art that tells you how you got there. I'm not joking. He was showing me his math, and I'm like, here you go. I don't follow.
Common Core, Common Core, whatever they call it.
I don't get
how they do math.
I don't follow this. And like, when he gets into more advanced math, I'm going to be like, enjoy the Kumon Learning Center, right, because I'm not going to be able to help you.
Yeah, algebra won't be like algebra that you maybe don't remember entirely, but if you take a few minutes, you're like, okay, I kind of remember how this works.
Geometry.
It's a whole new language now.
It's a whole new world, Paulie, and they don't really do grades anymore. It's like proficient is like A, and then I can't remember.
Satisfactory.
Not even satisfactory. It's even gentler language now. But,
on the right track.
Yeah, on the right track. Absolutely screwed, AS, for certain things. But
tries his hardest.
It's special, dude. And you watch, you look and you go, this is how you act when you're away from home. Like, that makes me very, very pleased. So it was cool. It was really, really cool. It was excellent. And, dads are really a wonderful thing because I got to share this text I got from my dad this morning. So I had the opportunity yesterday, and we're going to play some of it for you on the show today. Skip Schumacher, our pal, new manager of the Texas Rangers, and a podcast back in Dallas with my radio hero, Mike Reiner, did it last week. And they asked me to come back on again, and they wanted me to see if I could get Skip on their podcast because they're a Dallas-based baseball, heavy show.
Dallas's concierge.
So now
Stephen Woods.
So I said, sure, Reiner. Literally, if you need me to fly in and wash your car, I would do it. I owe everything to that guy. So I said I can do it, and I texted Skip, and he goes, yeah, I'll do it. So I set the whole thing up, and I said, okay, I'm happy to make the introduction. And Reiner goes, no, we want you on there. And I go, oh, God. So it's me, Reiner, and Skip on this podcast, which was, it was a dream. It was like 45 minutes. Couple things. We get started. We're talking for about 5 minutes. Skip's giving this answer, and Reiner's sitting there like this, shaking his head. I can't hear you guys. Oh, God. I'm like, no. We had some technical difficulties, and it lasted it lasted longer than you want. When you set up the interview and you set this thing up, and Skip is running ragged right now. He's got Zoom calls. He's got meetings and phone calls.
Network appearances.
And so I'm like, at this point, I'm like, oh, God, please fix it. Ended up getting it fixed. So it was a pretty cool moment for me. So I found the clip, and I emailed it to my dad this morning. I texted my dad, and I go, hey, Pops, just wanted to tell you, I emailed you my podcast that I just did with Reiner and Skip Schumacher. And he writes back this, and you read into this one. He goes, great, I'll listen. And that's all he said. Great, I'll listen. It seemed like I just told him that he has to take the garbage out. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted a little bit.
I mean, there is an element of, I already listened to you 4 hours a day. Right? Are you adding more to my plate at this point?
You think that's it?
Like, who cares? It's a Dallas radio icon and the new manager. What are you supposed to be, something special?
I
want him to know how much it means to you that you were on this program with Reiner and Skip.
Correct.
And to respond.
Great, I'll listen.
Now, I know
to be
my dad.
With a little bit more,
excitement, vim, a little more vim and vigor from my dad. A little more. No, yeah. There's no exclamation marks. No, nothing.
Gary,
great,
amazing.
I'll listen. Do you want to? You don't have to. I should have written back. You don't have to if you don't want to. I thought you would want to.
I'll
hear
just
it.
Go F myself.
Yeah. It's no big deal. It's just like a dream realized. It's no big deal. But it was. It was really good. I didn't talk a ton, but listening to my goat interview my other goat about what he plans to do. I asked him a couple questions about how to install a culture, because that's the first thing he said he wanted to do. And I said, you know, what does that look like, Skip? You just text everybody LFG, you know, with a muscle arm? Like, what is actually installing a culture look like?
And it's a good question.
It is. And I told him, the other thing I asked him, I go, all right, here's another one for you. I go, Skip, you've seen what's happened to the Padres in October. How do you train for October? You can't, can you? And he goes, actually, I have an answer for you. So I'll explain it later. We're going to play some of the podcasts. He had really nice things to say about our show. Of course, that's what we're going to play to make us look good.
Yeah, you want the actual stuff.
Yeah, you want the good stuff. Yeah,
listen.
It's on the – we can tweet out the link or whatever. It's really, really – it was really fun. And
great, thanks.
Great, thanks. I'll listen. He was a really sharp guy. Really sharp guy, as you know.
I don't think it will come to much of a surprise to Tier 1s that there have been a few texts exchanged between the three of us over the last couple of days – lamenting the fact that Mike Schilt stepped away just, you know, days, hours after Skip Schumacher was hired as the manager of the Texas Rangers.
It was
because
tough.
Felt like, well, there was a legitimate chance that Skip could have ended up back in San Diego.
Realistically, he press conference for Skip was Friday morning, I believe, last week, and then Monday at 9 a.m.
But Saturday is when Schulte apparently made his decision or told everybody about it. So, you know, had he said it on Thursday to AJ, AJ could have started reaching out, you know, before that. I don't know that he wanted to, and we don't need to go down and, you know, write an alternate history of what could have been, but I've become, I hope, self-aware enough that in the last couple of days, I don't know that we might have become insufferable. If Skip was the manager of the Padres, knowing that he is a giant listener of our show every day.
And he's a friend now.
Well, so, I don't even know how we'd handle it. It would be hard for us to be as objective as we need to be.
Yeah.
Would we have him on every day?
I feel like the audience split. The audience would be split. Like, half of you would think, oh, these guys know exactly what they're talking about, and I know that they know what they're talking about because I know they got it directly from the manager.
Right.
The other half would think, you guys are you have lost all credibility.
Yep.
You're just, that's your homie. And
yeah, like Dub J says, you're too close to it.
Yeah.
You're right. Like, it would be hard. But here's the thing. It would be hard to rip him, but I also know the kind of person he is. He would not care. We talked about it yesterday, that it's part of the gig. Like, it's to be questioned. Is a part of the manager's gig. So
I would
we talked
like to
a lot
think
about
that when we say something, we're not doing it in a completely unsupported, idiotic way. If we have some criticism, that maybe there's some valid points there, and Skip's, you know, self-aware enough that he understands that and would be okay with it. Still, I do feel like it would have put us all in a bit of a tough situation.
It's like hiring your kid to, you know, you hire your kid to do this hugely important job.
Job in which you get hired to get fired.
Yeah, exactly. And like, how do you fire your own kid? I mean, there's been GMs that have traded their own children away. It's happened before in Major League. How do you pull the trigger on that and be like, now it could be this is actually a way better opportunity. I'm actually doing my kid a solid. But again, come on into my office. I'm trading you to the Orioles. You know what I mean? You're like, Dad, what?
Pack your ass.
Pack your stuff, dude. Pack your stuff. So I think objectivity would have been tough. But, you know, it's more than just admiring him for his managerial skills or his personality or because he likes our show. He's a great human. And we were talking about it. He and I have texted so much over the years. And I texted him after and told him how much I value his friendship because I've leaned on him for tons of baseball stuff. I've leaned on him for parental advice. I've leaned on him for marital advice. I've leaned on him because I admire the dude as a human, as a man, as a father, as a husband. And he's somebody I look up to. Not really, because he's like a foot shorter than me. But it's the only thing I have on him is height and hair. That's it. Because I was on a podcast with him yesterday, looking at him the whole time going, how hard has life been for you? I realize you're a little bit shorter than you want it to be, but you're a big leaguer. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. He was like doing stuff with his arms and his big ass bicep. I was like, you know what? But he was wearing his Ben and Woods shirt. It was the coolest thing. And to be there with my goat, Reiner, was just, it was amazing. It was a full circle moment.
Those muscles, I'm sure, make your shirts very clingy and might be uncomfortable at times.
Like tight?
Yeah.
Like you
tight.
Try on a new shirt and you're like, God dang it, this one doesn't fit either.
Yeah, it must be difficult for him at times.
So here's the other thing, man. is I don't think it would have worked out here. Not worked out, like he couldn't have done a good job. You got to remember where he was the last year. Is he was, and he wasn't being groomed for the manager, but he was around those guys. So he has that intimate knowledge of what that team's about, what happened with them last year, their kind of meltdown. And now he gets to go in there with a year under, much like Schilt did here. He had that time here.
A little buffer.
A little buffer. And so I think that was always going to be the gig for him when Boach ended up leaving. So it was really cool. And you guys can find it. It's under Your Dark Companion on YouTube. But
we'll play some of it, though.
Or my dad can just send it to you if he doesn't want to listen. Great, I'll listen.
How long did you go about?
The whole podcast is 51 minutes.
51 minutes. And it was cool. We talked about a lot of stuff. We talked about the Padres. You know, I brought it up to him while I had him, you know, and asked him, hey, how do you fix kind of what's going on here? I asked him about Manny and Tatis. He had some nice things to say about them, as he knows them both very well. I believe Fernando Tatis Jr. is his favorite player in baseball. So for all the he's a diva, he's unmanageable, Skip Schumacher, who's one of the most together, foot-on-the-ground guys, is like, he's my favorite player.
Well, now those people
baseball.
Are like, great, trade him to Texas.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. See how that works out for you. But it was really, really cool and special.
I've awesome. Been wanting to get him on, but it was weird with the news here in San Diego on Monday.
Correct.
Because we had to, you got to wait until Skip does his press conference and all that media and everything. You got to wait for that to happen first, which was Friday of last week.
Yeah.
And then 9 a.m. Monday, we find out Schulte is out, and we're going, huh, okay, well, feels a little bit weird to get, like, Skip Schumacher on the next day.
So, how's it going? What's how far is surprise from?
About 15 minutes.
We'll see him. Peoria? We'll see him in spring training for sure.
Oh, very close.
100%.
Yeah, we'll definitely pop on over and say hello and surprise
taking
Arizona.
P.F. Chang's.
Yes. KG says, what a Skip know? I saw some random guy from Twitter say Tatis was toxic. Clearly, we know who to believe. Exactly. That's kind of it. Because that's why I wanted to bring it up to him. And, you know, he talked about Manny. He talked about penciling a guy in for 160 games a year. But he was spectacular. I think he's going to do a great job there. And I said, well, we'll be eagerly awaiting our merchandise. And we'd be happy to rep the Texas Rangers as our AL team until he is gone.
I still have the Miami Marlins hat he sent us in my closet. I don't really wear it, but
my son wore it damn near every day. And I told him that on the podcast. I said, you get him some new gear and he'll start repping that stuff too. He's a great guy.
It does remind me of something I was thinking about yesterday. When the Padres do name a new manager, whoever it is, are we going to try to go out to dinner with them at spring training? You don't want to go?
I don't even want to talk to them.
Are you sure
him.
It's not worth another effort?
Nah.
Just one more time?
I don't want to meet him. I don't even want to talk to them.
Does it change if we know this person or don't know this person? If it's somebody outside of the organization, never met him, would you want to get dinner and
get to know
get
them.
To know them that way?
We've tried it both ways, you know, with the new managers. We've given guys their space, like Bob. We've tried to get to know them like Schilte. Clearly, we have no earthly idea what we're doing.
It doesn't matter.
Zero.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. This show, whatever decision we make will be the wrong one.
Maybe
so.
We just, when they sit down with us at spring training on the show, we just give them like a $100 DoorDash gift card. Be like, hey, dinner's on us.
Dinner's on us.
But do whatever you want.
You don't have to go with us, though.
But you don't have to go. I don't know what to do, actually. And we'll see. We'll see who it is. There's a couple of candidates' names floating around there. We've talked about them this week. We'll probably talk about them some more. I wish that they would make a decision like today so that we can move on. It's not going to happen. We know that it's going to be a minute. But yeah, it was cool. I just put the link in the chat for you guys if you want to watch it. But he was really impressive. We'll play some of it later and get this thing going.
Carlos says, switch it up. Take the new manager to explicit.
That would be uncomfortable.
Not for me. It would be uncomfortable for him.
And me.
He talked about, this is a funny story, he talked about, Reiner asked him, do you ever have a manager that, you know, you could, like, get a drink with after the game? And he goes, yeah, baseball used to be better about that. And he said, Tony La Russa was that guy. And he goes, me as a role player and a bench player? He goes, I made sure I was in the hotel bar after the game. And he goes, I would sit there and Tony would, he liked to have a couple after the game, which is well,
we know.
Well, I can see that. Yeah.
Well documented.
We know.
And he would have all these, cocktail napkins, and he's making the lineup on the cocktail napkin and for the next day. And Skip would come up, and he'd be like, oh, I guess I'm not in there. He's like, well, no, you're a terrible baseball player. Why would I put you in the lineup? And just breaking balls and stuff. Like, that's the stuff I live for. I can't get enough of. He goes, I did, like, something to the effect of, like, I did find if I was down there and he saw me, he'd be like, oh, yeah, Schumacher's on. We'll get him some swings tomorrow against so-and-so. But it was really cool. If you hope you guys listen, it was great.
All right, let's take our first time out. When we come back, I'll set the menu. We can talk about last night's series flipping game in the ALCS.
Unreal.
It seems like the road team's dominating so far in both series. Will that trend continue? We got two games today.
It will not continue, is my bold proclamation, Ben.
Probably a pretty good expectation. We'll get to all of that coming up next. First time out, first traffic with Kelly Danik all coming up on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam. But speaking of the right thing to do, if you have a family and you have not done so yet, is to make sure your estate documents in order. And the easy way to do that is by going to trustandwill.com. They will guide you through a series of questions. It's basically as easy as like an online survey that you're taking.
Yeah.
But at the end of the process, which should take less than an hour if you're doing it right, you will have an actual will or trust that will be sent to you, and you can keep in a filing cabinet in a safe somewhere just in case you need it. Hopefully you don't, but if you do, you will have it, and your family will have it to be taken care of.
So, yeah, very simple. Trustandwill.com. Code is radio20. When you check out, you'll get 20% off of your trust or will. And, man, again, these guys know what they're doing, and they make it very, very simple for you. So trustandwill.com. Code is radio20. Do it today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a throwback Thursday on the Ben and Woods program, middle of October. It's been a long month. I was thinking the other day.
It has. My God.
Like 2 weeks ago, we were still at viewing parties, and the Padres were still in the playoffs. This is 2 weeks ago. Feels like a long time already, doesn't it?
It does. I've had this tournament on the 21st, and I'm going to play in Arizona. And so, of course, you're looking forward to that. And I remember early in October, I'm like, it's got to be the 10th at least. And I would look at my phone. It was October 3rd. I'm like, oh, I'm like a week behind. So I'm champing at the bit to get out there and play some baseball next week. But, yeah, it's been a little bit draggy for sure.
Coming up on the program today, as I mentioned, we'll talk a little baseball, what went on last night, ALCS, and then two games coming up today. In our 7 o'clock hour, a Padres smorgasbord topic of the day, and start turning our attention to the 2026 roster. Clearly, there will be changes, additions, some different guys, but there are also, you know, will be a lot of guys coming back from last year's team. The topic today, if you guys want to start thinking about it, who is going to step up for the Padres in 2026? And by that, I mean, who's going to make the biggest jump in performance from what we saw last year to this year? Who are you putting your chips on? Who are you betting on having a good season? Now, it can be a star player who you think had an off season is going to jump back. It can be a role player who you think is going to step forward and be a more key contributor,
so pitcher,
be
like
position player.
Maybe didn't have a great 2025. You're looking for the bounce back in 2026,
yep.
Or maybe even had a good year in 2025, but you're like, no, that's an all star.
Have a great year next year. Could be a guy who you barely saw. Maybe a minor leaguer who you think is going to have a solid big league season, someone who you feel like is on the rise in the San Diego Padres organization for 2026. It gets us kind of a way to start talking about the roster and what it's going to look like in next season for the San Diego Padres. 8 o'clock hour. Our guest on Thursday, of course, is Eno Saris from The Athletic. We'll talk some smart baseball with Eno at 8:35. Of course, all guests on Bennett Woods appear on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. Facing criminal charges, trust David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping clients regain control since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. And then in our 9 o'clock hour, we'll have some of our weekly segments, including the Rindle Report and our NFL threesome, as we start taking a look ahead to week 6 of the NFL season? Week 7 of the NFL season, which starts tonight. And we'll take a look ahead to what we'll have for you here on 97.3 The Fan and more. Before that, we've got a real or fake game, a chance to qualify for the trip to Las Vegas at 8:20, and with our game without having to take on Woods, and don't do this as well. So that's what's coming up on the program today. We'll start in baseball, though. What happened last night in Seattle had to be very disappointing for those fans after waiting for an ALCS game for so long. We'll get to that after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Love when she riffs. It's my favorite. Actually, I do. I love it. It's nice to have some, you know, personality.
Yeah, nothing wrong with being a Bears fan.
No.
Kelly's husband.
No. AI Kelly Danick today.
No, absolutely
not.
Kelly's
husband?
Yeah, Chuck.
Chuck.
Great.
Okay.
Great dude.
I love the both of them.
They're both fantastic.
So
people.
Great.
I like when her dogs are barking in the background of her traffic. She has like she has like 14 dogs, so she's the great.
You know, we rarely actually get to see Kelly.
Yeah.
Just every once in a while when she's in the building, but usually she's doing her reports remotely. So we're just listening along with the rest of you as to what's going on with the traffic and what's going on in Kelly's world. So last night, game 3 of the American League Championship Series, and it felt like after the first inning, it was on the verge of being over.
Yeah.
After Seattle had won the first two games in Toronto, and they come back to this insane crowd at T-Mobile Stadium, T-Mobile Park.
It was rocking.
And
made me so sad.
Julio Rodriguez hits a two-run home run off Shane Bieber. And you just get the sense, oh, okay, so this is just going to be a sweep, and Seattle is going to cruise to their first World Series appearance ever. There's just nothing that's going to stop. They're just that it team right now, and they're riding this momentum all the way to the Fall Classic. And then baseball happens. Get to the third inning. Bieber settles down. Really big for him to come back in the second inning. Struck out the side.
Yep.
Still 2-0. You get to the third. Bottom of the order coming up. You know, Kirby's been really good so far in the postseason. You're not really that worried. Get a runner on, and the number 9 hitter, Andrés Giménez, comes up. And I think this is very interesting based on everything we talked about in the Padres-Cubs series with Mike Schilt's managerial style. Andrés Giménez said after the game he was probably looking to lay down a bunt there, move the runner over, and, you know, try to get Toronto some momentum, get them a runner in scoring position and an opportunity to at least get on the board. Get the, you know, top of the order back up, chance to get a single. The Mariners, though, were also thinking that and kind of pinched in on the corners, thinking, all right, sacrifice bunt, which caused Giménez to rethink his strategy. And he said, you know what, I'm going to swing away. And he did. And he hit a two-run home run that now feels like could have been a turning point in the entire postseason for the Toronto Blue Jays, because he tied the game. And from that point on, I think the Blue Jays scored, what was it, 12, 13 unanswered runs before the Mariners scored again. 13, I think.
13-4 was your final last night. The Blue Jays hit 5 home runs. And, you know, did the podcast, as I told you yesterday, and I did ask Kip Schumacher about what it takes to win in October. And, again, he said, it's slug. Woodsy, it's slug, and it's not the answer you want to hear, you know, right now based on what you guys have gone through the last two postseasons. But he said slug wins in the playoffs. And, I mean, look, when you get slug from your nine-hole hitter who originally thought, oh, maybe I should get one down, nah, I'm actually just going to swing away, sit heater, whatever. I mean, Kirby, who is a fantastic pitcher, Ben, just didn't have it. He didn't have it. The breaking stuff was not breaking. Oh, it was breaking. It was breaking right down the middle of the plate. He was leaving everything middle. They pounded him. And those guys are too good of hitters to miss that many mistakes. So slugging wins again in the postseason. 5 home runs from the Toronto Blue Jays, and they are right back in this. And it's just wild how that momentum shifts. Talk about the immense amount of pressure they had to win that game. Now they're feeling so much better. Hey, we just beat one of your best arms, and not only did we beat him, we beat the crap out of that guy. We drubbed that guy out of, you know, off the mound in the, what do you go, 4 innings? And that was it.
Yeah, 4 innings, 8 hits, 8 earned runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts.
Brutal.
A lot of questions about why Dan Wilson left him in so long. This is a playoff game. You may be up 2-0, but you can't just necessarily punt. I mean, you didn't get innings, you didn't get a performance out of him, you have a bullpen. You didn't go to it earlier. Maybe it'll come back and, you know, be the right decision. You know, you don't want to torture your bullpen even more in a lost cause, and maybe they were never coming back in that game. But it was definitely something you heard a lot of people saying, like, why is Kirby still in there to give up all these runs?
Yeah, I don't know the logic behind that other than I don't know the logic behind it. Other than, like, we need to try to let him settle in because, again, you know, Shane Bieber gives up the home run in the first inning and you're down 2-0. Once they tie it, you're like, okay, it's a 0-0 game. But, man, it just spiraled from there on him. And this series now has gotten interesting.
And
I think it's, unfortunately, I think it's going to be the only series in the CS that's going to be interesting.
I don't know because I know. Today's game has the feeling to me of the same decision that the Padres made in Game 3 of the Wild Card Series to pitch Yu Darvish, the veteran, who had had a spotty, you know,
uneven
injuries and then a spotty return. And the Blue Jays are going to go the same direction with the veteran Max Scherzer getting the start. I'd assume a short leash. But they don't. I don't think they know what they're going to get. They're hoping.
That's why they left Kirby in last night.
They're crossing.
Wait, no, that's the wrong team.
Yeah.
Scherzer, yeah, short leash, just like you. Like, he hasn't been phenomenal this year at all. He's not Max Scherzer. Like, when they tweeted out,
had a couple of good starts, like you had a couple of good starts.
Yeah.
But you can't be confident if you're the Blue Jays of what you're going to get from Max Scherzer.
Who's throwing for Seattle?
Luis Castillo.
Castillo. Okay.
That's La Piedra. Mm-hmm. The Rock.
That swings it in their favor.
This feels like, I don't want to say it's a must-win game for Seattle because they're still 2-2 if they lose, but you want to win this one. You want to take control. You don't want to let the Blue Jays off the mat. You gave them the one. It's fine. You go and win the series in 5. This is the game where the Seattle Mariners want to bounce back, get a solid pitching performance from Luis Castillo, a guy they trust,
against a guy
that the Blue Jays can't possibly trust in this matchup today in Max Scherzer.
But again, you know, the other series that will continue tonight, I don't know that this is going to be much of a series, to be honest with you. I just don't see. The Dodgers have rounded into form and look like that 120-win team that everybody predicted they would be. How do they even compete against this team right now? It's not happening. You know, so I like that the Blue Jays won, keeps it interesting. I want as many baseball games as possible over the next few weeks, but I think this one's going to be wrapped up here pretty soon.
The Brewers, I don't believe, have even named a pitcher.
Quintana, isn't it?
Did they name him? I still have a TBD on the ESPN site that I was looking at. It will be Tyler Glasnow for Game 3.
Yeah, undecided.
Which is interesting. Dave Roberts made that announcement before Game 2. Because, you know, Ohtani had been, he's fresh, and he could have pitched in Game 1 or 2, but they pushed him back to Game 4, presumably because they don't want him to pitch twice in the series. If it went to seven, it's not going seven, but if it did, you'd have Snell and Yamamoto and Glasnow all pitching twice in the series, and Ohtani would just get the one middle game in game four. It makes a lot of sense since he's already going to be in every game and hitting. I don't know that you want him pitching twice in the series. So yeah. I do think that that has a certain amount of logic for what Dave Roberts is doing with his starting rotation. So Glasnow today, that'll be the early game, 3:08 p.m. on TBS. And then they push the other game back 30 minutes or so, 5:33 on FS1 for the Blue Jays and the Mariners. Might be a little overlap there at the end. First game probably won't be over by the time the second game starts. That's because I think both games are on the west side of the country.
Yeah.
You couldn't go too early, but you can't go too late for the East Coast. So that's the compromise they made for television today.
That's a crazy story yesterday that I did not realize. And it was apparently a big deal that Shohei Ohtani hit batting practice on the field. I didn't know that he doesn't do that. Did you know that?
I did not either. That's a big deal.
He walked out and they had like his mute. He comes out to like Michael Bublé, which is like perfect for him, right? And they were blasting Michael Bublé, and everyone's like ripped up in applause because he's coming out and he's like, yay! Hey! Like
Michael Bublé,
and he's gonna go up and hit BP. I guess he put one off the roof too. So yeah, him going out and hitting BP at with the other guys is something new. I just learned that yesterday for the first time.
Clearly he has not had a very good postseason.
At the dish, yeah. No, it's not been great.
Is this a sign of panic a little bit? You know, like changing your routine?
Probably changing it up a little bit.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Are the Dodgers concerned with the long-term commitment there?
When you're super, super...
$7 a year?
When you're super, 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 super superstar, has two knocks or whatever it is in the playoffs. He did okay against Cincy, didn't he? In this series, I think he has two hits. And you're still just beating the crap out of the Brewers with literally like without breaking a sweat in the last game. It's a nice luxury to have. It's a very nice luxury to have.
You talked about Slug.
Yeah.
And
they're getting such contributions from
Teoscar is huge. And the fact that, you know, with Will Smith back, they had Teoscar batting sixth last game, a guy who has already hit four home runs in the postseason.
Yeah, it's a luxury.
And Max Muncy is deep in the lineup. He's, you know, always a danger to go deep at any time.
Yeah, he almost hit that grand slam in game one that would have put that. I mean, he was an inch away from a grand slam that he hit the homer in the next game. He is such an elite playoff performer. He's got the most home runs in Dodger history in the playoffs, I think, with 14. So, yeah, I mean.
And then there's the playoff magic bullet in Kike Hernandez.
Well, and then there's Tommy Edman, who's batting like 400 in the playoffs, who's just as solid as it gets. So, look, I said it yesterday. I stand by it. Yes, they spend money. Of course they spend money. Yes, they do things that make you go, oh, this doesn't feel right. But not only do they spend the most money, they're also better. And they're also smarter with the way they do it. I was talking to some dudes last night about it. One of the guys is a Philly fan. So it's raw for him. And he said, they got to change something. I go, they got to change something in baseball. I go, like what? What are they going to change? Well, salary cap. This. And I go, look, at the end of the day, they spend a buttload of money. Money that they spend is usually pretty smart. They spent a lot of money on guys like Kirby Yates and Tanner Scott. They have the luxury. They don't even have to pitch them. I mean, you spend that much money on a reliever, you don't even have
to. To me, that is the problem, though. That's a bit of a problem for baseball. If they win, and let's brace ourselves.
Yeah, it's coming.
For the very likely scenario that the Dodgers are going to win a second World Series championship. They will do it having not even scratched, really, their potential of what they could have been this year. They were a disappointing team. They were a disappointing team in the regular season.
You think they're going to give one frog's fat ass about how they played in the regular season if they hoist that trophy?
I think traditionally they'll be disappointed. Like, you used to be disappointed when you didn't win as many games as you thought you could have in the regular season. Yeah. But you talked about it yesterday, load management, like the Dodger way. If you put a little bit less importance on the regular season in hopes of gearing up for an October run, do you really call that? If you win the World Series, you don't call it an unsuccessful season.
You're absolutely fine if you're the Dodgers and the Dodgers fan. But if you are the rest of Major League Baseball, if you're MLB, and the Dodgers win another World Series, and then go out and probably in the offseason add more stars,
Tucker, and
sign more big stars, and you know that just coming back, the guys are probably going to have a much better year than they did last year. They've already won two in a row, and they are going to be so vastly overwhelming favorites to win it again.
Yeah, in February.
Doesn't the other 29 teams just start to get discouraged? Fan bases just start to get discouraged.
Yeah. Sure.
And, like, what's the point of all this? That's a danger for Major League Baseball.
That's how people felt about the Yankees, though, back in the
90s.
Any dynasty, you know, that like that. The what are the Patriots doing? Now, again, it was more of an even playing field with the salary cap, but I lay in bed at night and I think about how is this going to work? But truly, man, their strategy having the luxury to keep guys like Snell and Glasnow's innings limits down, because here's the thing, though. And I'm like kind of making the case for them. They were able to develop guys like Knack and Sheehan and Kasperius that can get you through those games in June, July.
But if that is truly the inefficiency, if that's the way, hey, we need to do it the way the Dodgers do. Well, how do you do that? You need to spend three times what you're spending right now. No one else can do it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you always copy what the winners are doing. Oh, let's copy what the Dodgers are doing.
Can't.
All right, so let's not play any of our star players.
Yeah.
Let's sign a bunch of other players to play during the regular season. Nobody else can do that. They have cornered the market. They are the only team that can operate this way.
No, they're not the only team. The Mets can do it. The Yankees can do it. They don't. Red Sox could probably do it. They don't.
Okay, even if those teams did it, what about the rest of baseball? If that's truly
it's a four-team league, basically.
What if like only one team was allowed to have any analytics? Like the rest of the teams couldn't. Analytics were really, really expensive, and everyone else just had to fly by the seat of their pants. But one team got to know all the numbers. That team would dominate.
I feel like it used to be that way, and they were the team that was the advanced, you know, ahead of the game. Look. I hate them, too. I get it. But like I said, I'm not mad. I'm bitter.
They are ahead of the game in every facet of the game.
Paulie, they're 4 years ahead of the game. Yeah. They looked at the lockout coming in 27 and said, well, let's do this. Let's defer this. Will he take it? He will. Okay, let's do this. Let's set this up. Planning ahead, knowing let's win three World Series in a row, and then we're going to lock out. But at least we've got our three that we can sit on. And I fully expect them to win this year, and I fully expect them to win next year. They're just going to get better.
There's no reason to think they won't.
Right.
They won't be. They should be better next year than they are this year.
There's no question.
After they spend a bunch of money.
It's like a snowball rolling down a hill, collecting more.
I'm curious. I want to hear some of your conversation with Skip Schumacher on the podcast from yesterday in Texas. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.